In 1904, Japanese chestnut trees imported into the United States from East Asia bore a fungus that Japanese and Asian chestnut trees are resistant to. Tragically, our Native American chestnuts were not. By the very next year, the disease had infected trees in the New York Zoological Garden, and by 1940, most mature American chestnut trees had been killed. It's estimated that by this century, the disease has killed about 4 billion trees. Chestnut blight had all kinds of major ecological impacts, most of them devastating. At least 7 native moth species associated with the American chestnut became extinct. But massive trees don't disappear instantly when they die. Decay from insects and fungus takes a long time to break them down, and one bird apparently benefited from having such a sudden wealth of huge dead trees. Red-headed woodpeckers are the most omnivorous of all North American woodpeckers. They eat seeds, nuts, and fruits, adult as well as larval beetles, grasshoppers and cicadas, honeybees, and even bird eggs and baby birds. They often hunt for their insect food from snags, sallying forth to snatch flying insects out of thin air, dropping to the ground to pick up grasshoppers and such, and in either case, returning, often to the exact same perch, in wait for another opportunity. They also use snags to cache food items in the crevices of the wood and to dig roost and nest cavities into the trunk. So despite losing an excellent food resource in the form of chestnuts, red-headed woodpecker populations benefited from the sudden abundance of standing dead trees. Dutch elm disease, another fungus disease imported here on infected lumber and trees, first appeared in the U.S. in the late 1920s, but then a far more virulent form appeared in the 1940s. And again, red-headed woodpeckers benefited from the large number of dead trees, providing them with hunting perches, nest and roosting sites, and crevices for caching food. I didn't learn about how this one beautiful species benefited from 2 horrifying tree disease outbreaks until last week, when I was researching red-headed woodpeckers, inspired by the many birders and non-birders seeing these striking birds all over the Northland, including right here on Peabody Street. On Saturday, I was watching 2 of them mating in a big dead tree behind my yard when it suddenly hit me. That dead tree is an ash, and right now there are a lot of dead ashes all over up here. The cause of their demise is not a fungus, it's the emerald ash borer, an insect that in its larval stage destroys its host tree's vascular system by feeding on the inner bark, preventing the movement of water and nutrients. That may be strictly insect damage, but once the tree loses its outer bark, fungi get a toehold. When I read that red-headed woodpeckers see ultraviolet wavelengths and that several tree fungi are visible within that spectrum, I couldn't help but wonder if this new ash tree disease outbreak might not be the reason for the sudden appearance of red-headed woodpeckers. These stunning birds belong to one of the few migratory species of woodpeckers, and as they fly over the landscape in unfamiliar areas, being able to see decaying dead trees must be very useful. Anyway, not all horrible events have a silver lining, and I'm heartbroken that Russ and I have lost some of our own ash trees, but the red-headed woodpeckers I'm seeing and photographing in the big dead ash in the tiny wooded area behind our yard are filling me with joy. They don't seem to be nesting in that tree, but whatever tree they are nesting in is probably an ash and almost definitely dead. Red-headed woodpeckers are not phoenixes springing out of the ashes. The trees they need must still be standing. But out of this dead wood is springing new life, and that is cause for celebration. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.